Hi, welcome back to another episode of You, the Mother podcast by Abby Williams, a space dedicated to supporting, empowering, and connecting all parents in all seasons of parenthood. You can find more supportive content over on Instagram and TikTok at You, the Mother, and be sure to check out youthemother.com, where you can reach out to work with me one-on-one or sign up for my group coaching. The Estrangement Project is going to Costa Rica this November, and we have a couple spots left. It will be a healing and transformative love bubble in paradise. So I hope to see some of you there. You can find more information about the Estrangement Project retreat and the link in the description of this podcast. And in today's episode, I am welcoming on Whitney Goodman. Whitney is a licensed marriage and family therapist. She is the radically honest psychotherapist behind the hugely popular Instagram account Sit With Wit. She is also an author and the owner of the Collaborative Counseling Center, a virtual therapy practice in Florida. Whitney's debut book, which released in February of 2022, Toxic Positivity, Keeping It Real in a World Obsessed with Being Happy, shows readers how to shift from the goal of being happy to being authentic in order to live fully. A millennial on a quest to make mental health information accessible and easy to understand, Whitney helps people who want to improve their relationships and emotional wellness. She has her own column in Psychology Today and is featured and has been featured in dozens of domestic and international publications, including the New York Times, Teen Vogue, New York Magazine, and Good Morning America. In today's episode, she talks all about difficult family dynamics and estrangement. We dive into why siblings experience things differently, how you can navigate these difficult situations. Whitney gives us practical tips and tools to use. You can find Whitney over on Instagram at Sit With Wit. You can also find her on her website, sitwithwit.com. And she also has a membership community, sitwithwit.substack.com. I hope that you enjoy today's episode. And if you do, please be sure to leave a 5-star rating and review. Your support here on the podcast always means the world to me, and I so appreciate you being here. So let's get started in supporting you, the mother. Whitney, welcome to You, the Mother podcast. I'm so excited that you are here joining us today. You and I have connected for a long time over on Instagram. So thank you for joining me and sitting with me in this space. First, tell me, listeners, a little bit about yourself.
Yeah. So thank you again for having me. I am a licensed marriage and family therapist in the state of Florida. I work mainly with young adults who are struggling with their family relationships, especially their relationships with their parents. Yeah. And this is a niche that I had worked with in the past, but kind of became like such the bulk of my work throughout the pandemic. And yeah. I think a lot of that had to do with just millennials, especially younger millennials, Gen Z, kind of like having to move back in with their parents or having these really like tense, concentrated environments that they probably weren't experienced otherwise, maybe having to leave college and go back home, that I found that like 90% of my practice was this.
Yeah.
And I was really loving working with it. So that's where I've been going lately.
Yeah, yeah. And you've been creating a lot of content on your social media platforms around some of these difficult family dynamics, estrangement, you know, kind of the ripple effect. You've talked about siblings and, you know, just so much. And I'm just so appreciative of it because I think those of us who are on some of these journeys, navigating difficult family dynamics, walking the fire of estrangement, it can feel so lonely. It can feel so isolating. And having platforms that are really talking about it, normalizing some of these feelings that you're having is so, so important. So thank you again for just providing this labor of love that is creating content on the internet. It is yes. A lot. So I see you and I am so appreciative of you. Let's kind of dive into what some of these difficult family dynamics look like. What are some things that you're seeing these younger generations and this older generation, our parents, why are we butting heads and not able to communicate our needs? Like, what is the disconnect here?
I think we're seeing right now one of the biggest gaps in how generations perceive parenting, the family, all of that we've ever seen in history. Right. So for someone like me who grew up like without the internet, with the internet, like there's sort of this gap of now seeking information and it all being out there. And I find that some people are thinking like, well, why didn't my parents do this? And why didn't they do that? And the older generation is saying, I didn't know any of this,
right.
You know, to a certain degree. Of course, we all know that abuse is not good no matter right. when you were born.
Right.
But there's this big like discrepancy between what we want from our parents, what they think they should have to give mm-hmm. or should be supposed to give. And one of the biggest problems I'm seeing is that for the older generations, and I hate to stereotype, right. but there's kind of this feeling of like, if I admit that I did something not even wrong, but totally right. not right.
right.
Or if I admit that maybe I'm lacking in some areas, I'm saying that I'm bad. Mm-hmm. I'm a bad mom. I did a bad job. And people are so scared of feeling that.
Yeah.
That they just instead will say things like, I did the best I could.
Right. Right. I think that shame just runs so deep.
It does.
Yeah.
It does. Yeah. And I get it. I get why it's right. painful.
Right.
But it comes at such a loss to your life when you're not willing to engage with that shame.
Yeah. Because I feel like, you know, being vulnerable enough to acknowledge some of that shame of, oh, yeah, I didn't have all the tools. I didn't have all the education that the generation right now does. I didn't maybe know better. Mm-hmm. Now I do know more things. It leads to just like that disconnect, right? It's where like connection is where we can lean into that vulnerability. And we can have some of those healing conversations with our adult children. And so I am noticing, because I talk openly about my estrangement with my mother. And I have a friend who grew up maybe worse than I did, if I can like air quote worse,
yeah.
But had a harder time with her parents while we were growing up. And we're both here in adulthood. We have like some of these conversations around coming back to our parents and saying, hey, you did XYZ, and now I'm having to unpack this in adulthood. I'm struggling in adulthood in this way because of some of these things that happened. And both of us mm-hmm. have like come to our parents and had some of these conversations. Mine led into estrangement. Her parents have really stepped up and had some of these hard conversations and are really a part of her healing. And so I'm wow. noticing like two very different responses to when adult children are coming to parents. And I'm sure that there's maybe some other buckets that parents are falling into. Sure. These are like two kind of extreme situations, maybe, or two ends of the spectrum, I should say. But I guess, like, what would you say to parents who their adult children are coming to them and voicing some of these concerns or saying, hey, the way that you're showing up for me now isn't helping me. It is damaging to our relationship. Because I feel like the goal in us coming to our parents with some of these conversations isn't to shame them. It is to build connection and to get our relationship on a track that is healthy for both of us.
You hit the nail on the head there, because I think that's what parents have to remember most, is that kids who want nothing to do with you and just want to hurt you, and I'm talking about adults when I say kids, right. but your kid could just walk away.
Right.
They could not even bother telling you,
right.
you know, what could be fixed. And there are certainly situations where I've seen that happen where they're just like, this is so beyond repair.
Right.
You know, especially in extreme cases, we do know that like sexual abuse, physical abuse, these things happen right. between parents and children, even if we don't want to admit it. And if your kid is coming to you and saying, this is where I'm hurting, this is what went wrong, this is what I think could be better, they want to have a relationship with you.
Yeah.
They just want to have a good relationship. They want to have a healthy relationship. These things aren't being said to shame or punish or criticize. It's really so that you can build a foundation.
Yeah.
And also have some understanding about what you can fix and do better. And that's another place where I see so many of the same comments from parents, right? Like, I get comments on my videos saying, My kid just woke up one morning, stopped talking to me, and walked away. We were a perfect, happy family before that.
There's
and when
no
I
way.
Hear that, I'm like,
there's no
gosh,
way.
Yeah. And you must have been not paying attention.
Yeah.
You must have been unwilling to look at what was happening. But that is so rare. And I know it does happen in cases where, especially children with persistent severe mental illness,
right.
addiction, things like that.
Right.
I have seen cases with pretty good parents who have these things happen to them. And it's not correct to say parents are responsible for everything that happens with their kids.
Right.
But when your kid stops talking to you and your first response is, but everything was perfect.
Right.
That's a moment to say, I might not be aware.
Right.
Of what's going on, and I need some insight.
Yeah. I literally have to like keep some of my communication with my mom, like my text messages, my emails.
Yeah.
Because some of those things are said like in our family system. Lies are said about me and my community about how like this was all me. I'm just like keeping the grandchildren from her. And I'm like, you can open up your phone right now and see like that's not true. You know
yeah.
what I mean?
Yeah.
And so it's really hard, right? That I just totally identify with those people whose parents leave those comments and like how unseen you are and how hurtful some of those things are when your parent is just like, not me. This is
right.
all you, right? And like how many years you probably were communicating those needs, how many boundaries you probably tried to put in place before you had to make that impossible decision to say, I can't do this anymore. And it's like cutting off your arm, cutting off a parent, you know?
Oh my gosh, absolutely. Once you have your own children
too,
you're in this position of like, people forget that estrangement doesn't just mean, like you said, like cutting off one person. You are sometimes cutting off an entire part of your family tree that then when you have your own children, there is like an innate sense in humans to stay connected and to stay close and to protect the family that I trust that when someone has to make that decision, like there's something going on for them that so significantly outweighs that in this moment. And they've probably thought about it for a little bit, you know?
Right. And so I guess like, is there something that you would say to those adult children who I've talked about this before, maybe on the podcast, definitely in the estrangement project that I created with Maggie Nick, that like my first therapy session when I went no contact with my mom, I sat on that couch and I was like, how am I going to protect like the ripple effect in my family? How am I going to not put my siblings in the middle of this? How am I going to keep relationships? And I was so worried about keeping the peace for everybody else and not for me. I wish I could like go back and just give her a hug, that past version of myself.
Yeah.
But I had no idea the ripple effect that was about to happen. And I guess, like, is there something that you would say to those adult children to let them know, like, it's not your fault, you know, we can't control what other people are going to do as a result of this, you know, is there some insight or things that they can do to maybe, I just felt the need to, like, explain myself over and over and over and over to all these other people, like, well, maybe if they just understood that this was happening, then they get it. Don't do that.
Yeah. And I think, you know, you said it so well that like there will be a ripple effect.
Yeah.
There's all these other people involved. And we have to remember that everybody in the family, even siblings that were in your house when this was happening, are going to have different interpretations of what was happening. And they're also going to do different things to protect themselves, which sometimes can even mean aligning with someone that was abusive.
Right.
Or was cruel because they get something out of it.
Right.
It's also very difficult for people to admit that this is happening.
Mm-hmm.
You know, to say this, I find that when people recognize that something's wrong in their family, they feel like something's wrong with them.
Mm-hmm.
And so some people really avoid that at all costs. They will just continue to tolerate the behavior.
Yeah.
And you're somebody that's saying, I'm not going to do this anymore.
Yeah.
And you just have to remind yourself every day that like some people are not going to be willing to do what I did.
Yeah.
to protect myself, and they don't have to get it in order for this to be the right decision to me, for me. Now that sounds so easy and simple, but you know the pain of like living that on a daily basis. And people can say some like really cruel things when it comes to family in the name of being close, right?
I know. I went through it with one of my siblings who I'm like kind of basically estranged with now as well. And just like the really, really hurtful, just like can't wrap your mind around things that were said as a result of me picking my piece over the treatment that was happening. And I feel like I had like a lot of anger around that for a long time, probably. Until like I kind of shifted to that space of understanding that not everybody can make those hard choices. And we have very different experiences, which is wild. Like how do come from the same parents and just have completely different situations? Why does that happen, Whitney?
There used to be this old belief, like I heard this growing up, like I treated you all the same, right? And as if like the same action always has the same impact on different people. And that's not the case. We also know that a parent, it's impossible for them to treat all their kids the same, because I'm the oldest in my family and I was treated so different just because my parents were new parents. Like my first child will be the same. Like I was learning, you know, that I think as parents, we have to have that insight of like this, these are all different kids. They all need and want different things. And it can be mind boggling though. I think when there's like extreme stuff happening in the home and your sibling's like, I don't remember that. That didn't happen. That's not what it was. And you're like, you were there. Like, how do you not remember it? And I think that's when it's, some of the siblings could be like dissociating, shutting down, not paying attention to what's going on, especially when they were talking about physical violence, abuse, that it's possible that some people don't remember the things that you remember, and not in a way that they're trying to deny your experience, but that they've literally found a way to compartmentalize that. And to not face it.
Yeah. It's hard. So now maybe you're the person that's saying no more. And in some of these difficult family dynamics, when you are the one that steps out of that family system, you're often going to be scapegoated. Maybe you're the black sheep of the family now. Can you kind of talk about like, what does that mean when we use those words? Because I feel like those words are kind of being thrown around on the internet right now as like some of these healing journey estrangement is becoming more of a topic of conversation. But can you just kind of share with us what that looks like and how maybe people who are in that space navigate that?
Yeah. So if you're the person that's going to step out of the family and make a change, you have to expect that there's going to be chaos when that happens. There's this thing called family homeostasis. Every family has it. It's like they're where they operate, right? And so anytime something changes in the life cycle of that family, that gets thrown off. And everybody then is sort of scrambling to be like, now where do I fit? What's my role if she's no longer here? And so some of the ways that people will achieve closeness and homeostasis again in that moment is to rally together against a common enemy, which is typically the person that has stepped out. And it's kind of a fake way of making yourself feel closer as a family, right? Like we know what's the truth. We know what's going on. We're going to gossip about that person. And it can make the person that stepped out feel absolutely crazy. And like you are just, you're living in an alternate universe, which is very difficult. And so I think if you're in that position, you really have to find a way to protect yourself from that narrative that is being expressed. And consistently remind yourself of why you're doing what you're doing. Because if you made this choice, you probably have a mountain of evidence that you have gone back to 1,000 times. It's also important to find allies in that evidence, whether that's a partner, another family member, not in a way, I think, to mimic what's happening on the other side, but to reaffirm your views and what you're feeling and what you're pursuing for yourself, and make it more about what am I going to do to move myself forward from here and to create my life, not what am I going to do to attack them and prove them wrong, because right. then you're not really out of the dynamic.
Right.
You're just not talking to them, but doing the same thing.
Yeah. Yeah. It does make you crazy.
Yes.
Yeah. It does make you crazy. Maybe for a while. Go get some therapy. That's helpful. And I totally agree of like just kind of being in that narrative. So like for myself, like at the beginning of my healing journey, I feel like I was just fighting people in my head all day long.
Yes.
You know, just like proving people with my pile of evidence, but like not really to anybody, just like in my head, just like all consuming. Is there a way that people can avoid going through that, or maybe shorten that time and not right? have to live how I was for a while? That anger like was consuming me for a long time, I think. Like I didn't talk about it on social media until like I was past all of that stuff and like was to a place where I was like more regulated and able to like, I don't know, help people, not just like trauma dump, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I just think that we don't really talk about, when we talk about like healing journeys, we talk about like how beautiful it is and you're going to get to this other side and it is better. And it is like on that other side, it does get better. But that beginning piece, when you feel crazy, you're fighting people in your head, you feel super dysregulated, maybe you're isolated from, you know, important people in your life who you weren't expecting. It's like walking through fire.
You know, is
there a way that maybe we shorten that, or some things that we can do for ourselves to make it a little bit better?
The fighting people in your head is such a relatable experience, I think, for people going through this, that would be a moment where that voice is going to come up.
Yeah.
And that's when I would really try to practice this idea of like, I believe myself.
Yeah.
I know what happened to me. I trust what I'm doing. I can always change my mind later. This is what I need now.
Yeah.
And instead of getting into these arguments with other people, with yourself in your head, coming back to that place, that part about like walking through fire and going through the distress, I almost think it's just like
part of
non-negotiable. Yeah. I haven't heard of anybody who hasn't had that experience.
Yeah.
But I think the way that you can make it easier is to get to this place of like, I know what's true for me, and I'm no longer going to engage in a campaign where I have to prove what I believe, you know, especially because you're probably in therapy working through that. You're talking to other people, and people who care about you and want to have a good relationship with you, they want to hear you out. They don't want to fight you on every single point. And so if you find yourself doing that, it's okay to just say like, this is not going to lead me to the healing place.
Yeah.
I know that, because I'm feeling like a lawyer when I'm arguing with this person. And if you're pulling up like receipts and old messages and it's like, that's not normal.
Yeah.
It's so stressful and it's not going to get you where you want to go.
Yeah. That's such a good perspective shift. I know. I think that is like kind of the shift that like you make at some point in your healing, right? You go from trying to prove yourself or you're fighting people in your head to that like self-trust and, you know, letting go of some of that guilt. I think that there's a lot of guilt around estrangement, hard family dynamic stuff, and being able to put down some of that guilt, because I think estrangement is the last resort. And we already kind of talked about that at the beginning of the episode, you know, that you have probably communicated these needs, put in place boundaries for a long time, and being able to put down that guilt and saying, I was communicating. I did try to preserve this relationship, and this is not on me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's so hard. Yeah. I do. I think like you made a video a while ago, and I'm going to botch this.
go ahead.
But you were talking about having compassion for our parents. And I so identified with that, especially now in like the stage of healing I'm in now. where before maybe I would have watched that video differently and been like, no way. but like, I do think I am in a space of, I have so much compassion for my mother, how she can't show up and be the mother that I need her to be, why she can't. And, you know, I do feel for her. I also feel for her and that, you know, she's lost her daughter, just like I've lost my mother, and the pain and the journey that she's probably on as well. But I guess, like, how do we kind of get to that space? And I think in your video, you were talking about, I forget, but just like having compassion for parents who are in some of these spaces and feeling like, you know, I've done so much for you. And we hear those things and it's very triggering, right? You know, the, are you kidding me? You've done so much for me and I've been communicating my needs. You weren't doing any of those. But I do like, you know, feel for them because I'm also a parent. And when my children are adults, there's just no way that they're going to go through their childhood and their upbringing and come out completely unscathed, especially I have four of them. Like, there's just no way. So how do we, I guess, come to that place of having compassion for our parents and doing better maybe when our children come to us and say, hey, we had some difficult family dynamics and I came out maybe with some stuff from my own childhood. How do we kind of break some of that?
You know, when I say I have compassion for these parents, I have a lot of compassion for how this must feel for them to be hearing from their children, like, you did all these things wrong, especially when they feel like they didn't have the knowledge to really, like, do anything differently.
Right.
That being said, I think parents who do their best, they try to do better.
Yeah.
They try to learn more and they try to be different.
Yeah.
And so no one is saying that anything can be made up for in the past. It's really about, like, how can we change what's happening now?
Yeah.
For the adult child on the other end of that, though, I think when there's a lot of anger, it's hard to have compassion. And you talked about that piece, right? Yeah. That sometimes you really have to put off trying to understand your parents' experience at all.
Yeah.
Stop trying to put yourself in their shoes and really just focus on, like, getting yourself to this place. And I find when you're there, when you feel more secure, you feel like you've had your needs validated and understood, then you can take a step back and say, wow, my mom had a really tough childhood. In her life, her mother was this way. I can see how this got passed down in my family. Now, that compassion doesn't always mean that that person gets to be in your life. It doesn't always mean that the boundaries change. It's more just an understanding that I think actually helps kids realize I wasn't the problem.
Yeah.
I wasn't the one that created this. This has been going on for a long time. And I hope that one day my parent can see it too and find their own inner strength to kind of work on how this impacted them.
Yeah. Yeah. I know. It's hard.
It's so hard.
It's hard. Whitney, I get a lot of people, so now that, like, I talk about my estrangement on my platform, I get a lot of people in the comments and my DMs talking about difficult family dynamics, maybe more with their in-laws than with their own family. And I think that's a whole different bag of worms, right? Because maybe, you know, I think that some of the people are commenting, you know, that they see the dysfunctional family and their in-laws family system, but maybe their partner doesn't. How do I get them to see it? I also get, you know, I'm so hurt, but he's not as hurt. We have maybe gone no contact or limited contact, but my feelings are more hurt than his are. Are you seeing any of these things? And what would you say to people who are navigating difficult family dynamics that are not their family of origin, but their partners?
I see this a lot, and it is a loaded thing,
yeah,
right?
Right.
I see this especially, you know, people get married, they have children. when you join two people together, you are often integrating different styles of communication, cultures, religions, race, all these different things that just make it difficult. Mm-hmm. And so I see a lot of partners wanting to like bring up the dysfunction in each other's sides.
Yeah.
And sometimes I don't think this is the best idea.
Yeah.
I think it's a good idea if there are things happening in the moment that are threatening to either one of you that are problematic. But if you're going to ask your spouse, like, did you notice that when you were a kid, like your mom did this, and it's like this really hurtful thing that he doesn't really pay attention to,
right,
that might just be more you wanting to like analyze or drum things up.
Yeah.
When it comes to stuff that's happening now, I always err on the side of like the couple needs to try to navigate these issues together. Mm-hmm. And really try to understand why the other person is being impacted by that behavior. And that can be tough because of the alliances that you feel to your spouse, to your mom, to your dad, whoever it is.
Yeah, it's hard. I know. We get a lot of people commenting some of those things, and I just like feel for them, you know, because I think that it's maybe easier to confront our family of origin.
Right.
Then it is like somebody else's family.
Yeah. And there's a difference, right, between something being like weird or different and something being dysfunctional.
Yeah.
And so I think there's like a fine line there sometimes of like, I don't like how your family does this versus like your parent is yelling at us and like calling us names. And, you know, it's this very obvious behavior.
Yeah. So sometimes we gotta shift our perspectives on maybe like what the dysfunction is. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. I agree with that. I think the last thing I wanted to ask you about is maybe just like for parents who are listening, who might be the older generation that we're talking to, so like our parents' age, and maybe they're navigating some of this hard family dynamic stuff with their adult children. Their adult children maybe have gone no contact with them or are bringing up some of these issues. I know that we kind of touched on it a little bit, but is there advice that you would give to them to maybe maintaining contact or maybe reaching back out to their estranged child, right? Mm-hmm. And is there a way to repair those relationships? Is there work that the parent and the parent-adult-child dynamic can do to heal some of that relational stuff?
Yeah, the first thing I think I would say to people is like, there has to be a shift in your mindset. Mm-hmm. I know that we're talking about an adult and an adult, but this is not an equal relationship because there are so many years of a really entrenched power dynamic, right? So as the parent, you are the parent and you set the tone for the relationship until your child, you know, until you're no longer with your child. So coming at it from the perspective of what type of behavior do I want to see in my relationship? What can I model? What can I do to be the one to create that foundation? Because a lot of times when there's been estrangement or a rift, you are building like a totally new relationship to some degree that of course has history, but there has to be this mix between like apologies and also changed behavior has to happen. And I think that comes from an inner knowing that like, yes, my kid is an adult, but I am their parent and I hold immense power in this situation.
It's hard, this family dynamic stuff.
It's really hard.
And that's why I'm just so thankful that there are platforms right now talking about these things, educating about these things. I think, you know, almost 4 years ago when I was in the beginning stages, if I had seen more people talking about it, my beginning stage of healing would have looked maybe different. And just would have been a lot less alone. So I can't tell you enough just like how powerful the work that you're doing is. So thank you for providing those spaces. Can you tell my listeners where they can find you?
Yeah, you can find me on Instagram, TikTok, any social media platform at Sit With Wit. My website is sitwithwit.com. And then you can also purchase my book, Toxic Positivity, anywhere books are sold.
Yeah. Whitney, you also have a membership community now.
Yes, on Substack. And that is linked through my Instagram and everything.
Yeah. And I have like seen you're doing like monthly topics.
Yeah. So every month I tackle a different family relationship topic related to adult family relationships. This month we're talking about like rituals, tradition. So it's really great if you're looking for more of a deep dive on the topics that I talk about on Instagram.
So, so important. So thank you for providing that as well. Whitney, thank you again for joining me and helping me support you, the mother.